Last week, we tried to preach my notes, but we never got to them. And that's okay, because we need to be directed by the Holy Spirit. And so what I ask you to do is to go home and to ask to be sincere and to ask the Lord what was the one thing that you needed to make a correction on. And so, you know what, I did that, and I was kind of shocked at what the Holy Spirit said to me. But here's what I said. I said that be ready for it. Because what I know about the Holy Spirit, what I know about God is He's a truthful God. And He spoke the truth to me. Man, just kind of hit me square in the eyes, right in the middle of the eyes. Boom! I was like, whoa. Okay. But I received what He had to say to me. And I hope and I pray that you did that. Tonight I want to talk about, my sermon title is It's Not Over. Everybody say it's not over. And Satan has a, Satan is a discourager. Look at your neighbor and say Satan is a discourager. Yeah, and he'll try to get you to, he really wants you to stop fighting. Because he knows your potential. And so the key is to get you to be discouraged. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. The fight is a good fight because it's a fight that we win. And we're guaranteed to win. The only thing that's going to stop you is you. Not that you don't have challenges and opportunities, but you know what? The Bible has promised that if you don't quit, that you will reap the harvest that God intends for you to reap. So is that not right? So the only point is if you stop. That is the only point. And that's why he fights so hard to get you to be discouraged in a situation. You know what? In a marriage, in a ministry, in a business, in a, you know what, in just life in general. Two weeks ago, we talked about things that cause people to give up. Tonight, I wanted to talk about three reasons not to give up. Everybody say three reasons not to give up. And if you could turn to Jeremiah. Of course, I have it up here on the screens. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And we're going to start with the first verse. Jeremiah chapter 18, starting with verse 1, and I'll just read the first 11 verses. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there he will cause you to hear my words." Interesting, because God wants him to go to a place and to hear the word of God. How many of you have been at this place in church, and it's at church that God has been most prolific in talking to you? Who could raise your hand and say, now keep your hand up real high. And that doesn't mean, I want people to look around the room. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't talk to you at home, because he can. You can put your hands down. Because he can talk to you any place. He can talk to you in the car. You know what I mean? I remember driving to Albertsons one day, and you know what? Tamara and I were just happy as can be with, you know what, Tyler and Shayla. We had two kids. We were planning on having two kids, and that's what that was our plan. How many know there's your plan and there's God's plan? Yeah. Now listen. You'd be real smart to get off your plan and on God's plan. Because let me tell you what, God's plan is so much better than our plan. Can you say amen to this? So, you know what? If you're on your plan, get off your plan, because your plan is a plan that is, here, it's, thank you. That way, you found my words. I was going to call us stupid. But you know what? Here's what I'm saying. But Fred said it perfectly. Our plan is just limited. Our understanding is so limited that when we come up with our plan, it's just not a good plan, because it's so limited. Our intelligence, our understanding, our lack of ability to see what God wants us to see and go where God wants us to go, that whole thing, we're just so limited if we stick to our plan. But here's what I want you to catch. He's going to go and hear, you know what, a word from the Lord in a certain place. And God has used the local church over and over and over again, and the preaching of the local church as one of the, not the only, but one of the main forms in which he communicates to you revelation knowledge. And so, and you say, but Pastor, we're here. I know you're here. I know I'm preaching in the choir, but I need to communicate this. It is absolutely critical, you know what, that you continue to find your place here in the house of the Lord, here in the local church that God has called you to be able to continue to hear what God is speaking. And that doesn't mean that you can't hear from God, you know what, in your car, in your home, in your, you know, in all, going to Albertsons, and I, you know, the Lord started speaking to me and giving me revelation that we would have a third child. I was like, oh God, I guess you didn't hear my plan. You know what I mean? I said, you know, we're gonna have two kids. And he said, no, three kids. And then I said, no, dos. This is a true story. And he said, no, tres. How many know God has a sense of humor? You know what? And I'm like, unbelievable. You know what I mean? It probably wasn't a month, maybe 2 months max, but it probably wasn't even a month that it's Wednesday night. I'm getting ready to go to church. My wife's on the bed. You know what I mean? I'm like, honey, it's getting late. We got to go. You know, let's go. I'm like, I don't feel good. I said, what's the matter? She said, I don't know. She started to describe a woman that was pregnant. As she's describing a woman that's pregnant, I looked at her and I thought, are you pregnant? And she said, I'm not pregnant. And then she was pregnant. God can speak to you anywhere. But one of the main places that God has chosen to speak is in the local body, the local church. So we're at the third verse. When I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, how many know the Lord can use stuff that's going on to speak to you? Yeah? I was doing a project, and I had gotten all the pieces of the project, and I'm on my way home, and I thought, you know what? I forgot one little cap, end cap. I came all the way back, spent $1 for this end cap. I have this cap on it just fit right on my finger. I'm carrying it to the check stand. And I'm reminded how important every piece is. And without one piece, the project can't even get done. Look at your neighbor, say, you are very important to this church. See, listen, and it trips me out. Can I be honest with somebody? Can I be honest with somebody? You ready for a little hard medicine? Listen, you are absolutely, I trip out how people sometimes don't come to church and they have an assignment to do and they think, oh, well, somebody else will do it. Wow. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll just have Richard, as he's playing, you know what, run back there to the cafe real quick and pour you a cup of coffee, okay? And then come back. It's like, hello? Your position is very important. Amen? And not only your position in doing something, and listen, I encourage you to know this, I encourage everybody to do something. You know what? I encourage everybody to do something. Do something. You can't just come and listen. You got to come and listen and do. That's the point of church. Oh, this is good. New concept. Amen. Church isn't just to receive. You ought to come to church with something. Amen. We have turned the church into a place where it's just feed me. And thank God that there's good food coming from this church. But we need to understand, for us to function on all cylinders, for us to function in the church the way God wants the church to function, that we've all got to be doing something. All we're bringing our part. All we're bringing our share. And as we all bring our share, then guess what? We have a different experience. Amen. How many know we had good worship when I was up here by myself with a guitar singing? Okay, I'll give it another chance to say amen on this. Sometimes, Todd, they need a little prodding. How many know we had good worship when I was up here singing? You know what? I'm good worship. Okay, it took me a long time to figure out what songs we're going to sing because I only know 3 chords, amen? So that takes a long time to figure out. But how many know we had good worship, but how many know we have way better worship now? Amen. 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 And every component of the church is the same way. And there's no component that isn't important. So God uses this one illustration of what I'm carrying this end, this little tip, to the register in my finger. And he reminds me that every person in this church is important. And that there's no component that's not important. Well, God speaks in this story with an illustration as he's looking and seeing this. And as he's seeing this, God starts to speak to him. Look at verse 6. or verse 5. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, he's looking at something, but he's noticing, wait a minute. I thought it was over. Look at your neighbor and say, no, it's not over. The house of Israel cannot do with you as this potter, says the Lord. Look, as the day is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up or to pull down and to destroy it, watch this, if the nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, hallelujah, I will relent, and the disaster that I thought to bring upon it, I will relent. See, God's saying, look, it's not over. And he uses this illustration of this piece of pottery that had a problem. I don't know what was the problem with it. And the potter just crushes it and says, I'm going to start all over again. Amen. Amen. God has a supernatural way to be able to take the junk, the mistakes, the imperfections that are in every single one of us, and God is speaking, and he's saying, guys, there's a key here, and the key is all you have to do is recognize it's not over if you don't want it to be over. See, it's interesting because he's saying if the nation repents, amen. Okay, quickly, three reasons not to give up. Number one, God's in control. Everybody say, God's in control. Now, or to say it like this, God is the one who's at the wheel. And when you understand this, here's what I want you to understand, that God is a good God. How many know God is long-suffering? God is patient. Look at Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 20, I have it up here. And you will seek me and find me, and you will search for me when you search for me with all your heart. Guys, look. Because let me tell you who is on the potter's wheel. God is there. Look and see. Search for him. And you know what you're going to find when you search for him? You're going to find a good God who's quick to accept your forgiveness. I mean, quick to not accept your blah, blah, blah. Quick to accept your asking for forgiveness. He's quick to, you know what, move on. He's quick to say, absolutely. Well, think about it. The blood of Jesus has already been shed. So here's the thing. If you'll just look and see, you know what, and find out the goodness of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Look what it says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You said, Pastor, why do you have that? Because I want you to understand, everyone has sinned. And the goodness of God, to see God in control and to recognize, wait a minute, God, there's no one without fault. There's no one who hasn't sinned. There's no one who hasn't sinned repeatedly. And the God who's up there says, no, no, let me tell you what. Let me tell you what. We can start all over. It's not over. That's who God is. Look and see who God is. He could do anything that he wanted. See, you know what I want you to notice? God's in control. Because I want you to see God, who could do anything he wanted, says when he's got this piece of pottery that is full of imperfection, says, we're just going to fix this. That's who God is. Look at your neighbor, say, you are fixable. And here's the thing. God sees you as fixable. You think God doesn't know? You know, you think when you sin, God's like, oh, I'm shocked. He knows. He knows. And he says, no. We're just gonna move on. We're just gonna, you know what, get a little blood of Jesus and just fix this. Understand, God's in control. And God, who could do whatever he wanted, he chooses to not say it's over. That's our God. Number two, God turns mistakes into miracles. Aren't you glad? See, I don't know what your testimony is, but remember we had a Teen Challenge come. Remember when Teen Challenge came? And Teen Challenge, it was awesome because this person over here had a story of how broken they were. But when you heard that story and you heard how God had restored it, wasn't an encouragement to you? And then this person over here said, well, let me tell you about my story. And you heard how broken they were. And then you heard how Jesus restored them. And I'm telling you what, that was one of the most powerful Sundays we've ever had. Amen? Amen. You said, but Pastor, I've never been on drugs. You know what I mean? Well, what if does it make any difference what your story was? And you might not have been on drugs. But let me tell you what, everyone has a story. Everyone, if you're born again, has a redemption story because we've all done things that we have regretted. And let me tell you what, not only God can fix that, but God can make it where that's a testimony. Hello? And let me tell you what, I'm not of the mindset. There are some people in the mindset. They're like, man, you know what? Let me tell you what. The only one who can minister to people on drugs are people who used to be on drugs. You know, the only body who can minister to sex addicts are those who've been sex addicts. I don't believe that. I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can minister to anybody. Do you understand that? That doesn't change the reality that most of the men that ministered to me out of, you know what, my issue of lust were men who had been captured by lust. What's my point? My point is that God can take your mistakes and turn them into miracles. Turn that which is meant, it was meant for your destruction, and through the power of God, through the power of Jesus, now, here's what happens. Now, that very thing is that which God is getting glory for. It's the very thing that, watch this, it's the very thing. You would think that those men that wrote Every Man's Battle, they were elders in their churches. They had been elders for many years. You know what? They were esteemed, and these men are talking about the hidden issues of lust that they were keeping, you know what, from their pastor, from their wife, from their kids, from their congregation. Everybody thought they were here, but those men wrote about that in that book, and it was their willingness, their brokenness, watch this, that gave me hope that I could get out of my brokenness. See, Satan's like, you know what? That's how Satan works. Satan is as bad as he thinks he is bad. The Bible says that Satan wouldn't have crucified God had he known what it was. Look, think about it for a minute. When Jesus came to this earth, He was the first begotten, the Bible says. He was the only Son of God. How many know this is true? So Satan, who is responsible for stirring up the Jews and stirring up the Romans, just a week before that, they were all praising him. Palm Sunday, they were, oh, look, you know what? But when Jesus didn't rise up in a earthly revolt against the Romans, the Jews turned on Jesus starting with the leadership of the Jewish synagogues, and a bunch of people, you know what, were ignited. How many know people can be ugly? Well, where's that? Who's stirring all that? Who's stirring all that stuff up? Satan stirs it all up. And so, you know what? Up to that point, there's only one Son of God. Jesus dies on the cross, takes care of all of our sin, pays for all of our sin, is risen from the dead on the third day, and now anyone who will accept the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from your sin, all you have to do is make Jesus your Lord of your life and say, hey, I don't want my life anymore. I want your life. And Jesus will do that great exchange, and boom, now all of a sudden your sin is done away, and watch this, and you come into the family of God. Why is that significant? Because let me tell you what, the Bible says that Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. God wakes up. God doesn't wake up. False doctrine, sorry. That was silly. I don't even know how to say this. One day, Jesus has one son, and after the day of Pentecost, he had 3,000 and something. How many know he got a big family real quick? How many of you are part of his family? See, let me tell you what. You are one of the many. Well, how did that? Here's what I'm saying. That's how Satan works. And that's how God works. God can take, Satan doesn't understand. And that very thing that has caused you frustration and pain and misery is going to be an opportunity for you to stand up and say, let me tell you about God. I used to be like this. But because of what God did, because of his love for me, you know what? And God kept on speaking to me. And God kept on speaking to me. And when other people gave up on me, God didn't give up on me. And because of his faithfulness to me, and I kept on feeling bad because I kept on, you know what, falling off the horse. But you know what? God kept on encouraging me and saying, just get back up. Just get back up. Just get back up. The righteous fall down 7 times. But guess what? We keep on getting back up. I had a friend ask me just recently. He said, you know what, Pastor, is there, like, how, you know what, I feel like I'm just keep on struggling. I said, well, listen, keep it up. Yeah. You know what, just keep on getting back up on the horse and keep, because trust me, I know what I'm talking about. There will be a day that you get on the horse and you will stay on that horse. Yeah. See, here's why. Here's why you have to understand this. Because it's not over. You know, listen, I would love it if, how many got saved and there were certain sins that just, boom, they just went away almost just instantaneously. How many remember those sins? Raise your hand if you had some sins that just, boom, you know, one day you got born again, boom, you just had no problem with that. Amen? Raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Okay, now here's the tough question. How many got saved and there were some other sins that didn't go away right away? Raise your hand if that's you. And if your hand's not up, you're lying, and that's a sin. Amen. So that's, okay, got it? Listen, but please understand this. But if you'll just be consistent. Listen to me. If you'll not give up on you. Because let me tell you about God. God's not giving up on you. God is not. God is faithful. He's not giving up on you. He believes in you. So don't give up on yourself. You just keep on getting back up on the horse and just know there will be a day. And that's what I told my friend. I said, hey, you just keep on getting back up on the horse. Number one, understand God's in control. A good God's in control who can fix the whole thing. Number two, understand God turns, you know what, mistakes. God turns mistakes into miracles. Jeremiah 18:4, look what it says. And when the vessel was made of clay and marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again. It's not over. Amen. We're just going to fix that problem. Amen. Romans, you know this, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Look, I have it up here on the screens. Romans chapter 8, 28. And we know that all things, ever say all things? All things. You know what all things? All things mean some things that you're ashamed of. Some things that you would just think, well, yeah, but this is a problem. Yeah, it's a problem, except, you know what? We got a potter who can fix the problem. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Do you love God? Yeah. Then guess what? It's going to be fixed. Yeah. Amen. Don't give up on yourself. Together to good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Let me tell you what, if you're born again, you're called according to his purpose. And God can work through your issues. And last, understand this. Number one, you know what, reasons not to give up. Number one, God's in control. He's a good God. He can fix it. Number two, God turns our mistakes into miracles. And number three, guess what? We get to choose. I say we get to choose. Look, it's right in the text. Look at verse 8. And if a nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil. Guys, you look at something in your life that you don't like. Here's what you better not say. You better not say, well, you know what? You know us clampets, we always been that way. Right? You know what? Well, you know what? That's just how we are. You know what? My grandma was a cusser and my great grandma was a cusser, and let me tell you, blankety blank, I'm gonna be a cusser too. Hello? No. We cannot afford to receive. They're called iniquities. We can't afford to receive the iniquities of our great great grandparents, our great grandparents, our parents. You know what? We cannot, whatever, four generations, whatever that is. We can't afford it. And here's what you have to know. You don't have to take it. I hear so much of the wrong speaking. You know what it is? It's in the category of evil speaking. Remember we saw this this Sunday in Peter, I think it was, in Ephesians? No, this is evil speaking. Don't hear. Well, James, from the mouth doesn't spring forth good blessings, cursings, and blessings. You know what? Don't come to church and sing his praises and hallelujah and praise the Lord and sing his praises. And then on the way home, curse yourself. One of the main cursings that I believe that James was talking about when he says, you know what, with the same mouth you bless the Lord and you curse men who are made in the similitude. It's the image of God. And one of the main people that you curse, one of the main men that you curse, and I'm not saying, and guys, understand this, we have no business. I hope you're hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to us as a church. We have no business talking about anybody. And I fully believe this. I believe this, that we have tolerated, we have not listened. Now I'm getting into Sunday sermon, but somebody needs to hear this. Repetition is the mode of learning. But we have accepted, we have not listened to what we have said. We have been way too comfortable with trash coming out of our mouth about this person or that person or this person. Hey, listen, that person, maybe they're not perfect, but what I would be so much smarter to do with my mouth is to shut it upeth. And if I'm going to say anything, it's going to be that I would bless someone. That I would say, just, you know what, stop. Because you create a stronghold. You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is a fortress that is made by words. Can I give you an example? You go to the doctor. You get a report. The doctor says you got a, you know what, a something. You can't even pronounce it. But by the time you get in the car, you know what? First of all, he has said it. He built a, he put a stone there. You say, yeah, but Pastor, it's there. Oh, hallelujah. And so is the blood of Jesus Christ. See, don't get all factual on me and throw away the Bible. Because heaven and earth is going to pass away. But let me tell you what's more real than anything. This is more real than what the doctor said. Let God be true and every man a liar. Glorify, magnify God with me. This is more true. But you allow that. I'm not ripping on doctors. I'm ripping on anything that comes against a promise that is in the Word of God. And so that doc, he don't know it. Guys, he don't know any better. All he's doing is looking at the x-ray, seeing what he sees. He's just walking by sight. That's all he's doing. But you better be aware of what he's doing. Because that brick, you know what? And then next thing you know, you learn how to pronunciate that. You didn't even know what it was. He says, see, it's right there. And you act like you've been going to medical school for 4 years. You're like, oh, yeah, I see that. You don't see that. It's just a bunch of gobbledygook. You could, you know, that looks like your eggs in the morning. You have no idea what it looks like. Right? It's all scrambled up. You don't know what it is. Oh, I see that. You don't see that. But boom, next thing you know, you say that you see it, and now you pronounce it. And then you get on the phone, and you talk to a bunch of other people who don't have in their mindset, let God be true and every man a liar. And so next thing you know, they say it, and they say it, they say it, they get on the phone. Who did you hear about? You know what? You know what? Did you hear about? What? You know what? And they went to the hospital. Oh, yeah. And the doctor said that there's no cure for that. And then you got a bunch of them calling all their relatives, and you're next thing you know, you got, you know, on Uncle Ned from Arkansas talking about your sickness, right? Boom, and this thing is, you know what? And the main person, you know who puts the biggest bricks on that stronghold? You do. Because you are the main person responsible for your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so with your mouth, one of the main people that we, one of the main men that we curse is ourselves. And you got to make a decision. No, I'm going to bless myself. I'm going to call myself healed from the top of my head to my bottom of my toes. Well, you know what? We never seem, you know what? We always just seem like we're always three bills behind. What you saying? See, I didn't really have time to go on this. Are you listening to what you're saying? Well, you know when your kids, you know when they, you know what, when they get teenagers and you know how they are. Listen, this is a true story. If anybody said that about my teenagers, I love y'all, amen. But if anybody said that in about my teenagers, I would confront them. I would confront them. You were not going to talk that way about my kids. It, you know, and maybe that was just there so close to my heart, I just wasn't. I was going to correct you. You're not going to talk about my kids that way. They have enough challenges without people in the body of Christ. You know what? You're going to pull? You pull my direction. Amen? And I'm going to pull for your kids. And anybody who knows Tamron and I know, we are pulling for your kids. Amen. 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 But we are the ones who are able to look at ourselves, even in our brokenness, and say, this doesn't have to be the end. You know what? This doesn't have to be the end. You know, and you swing, and Satan says, strike one. And you swing and you miss it, and he says, strike two. And you swing and you miss it, and he says, strike three, you're out. You need to stand up and say, excuse me? You know what? We're not playing according to your rules. Throw the ball back to the pitcher. Because let me tell you what. We're going to play. And we're going to play till I hit it. And we're going to play not only till I hit it, but till I hit it over the fence. And that's when we're going to say hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, don't come up to this mentality of it's too late, it's too gone, I'm too this, you know what, I can't. No, listen, if you make a decision, if any nation will say, listen, it's not over, then God says, you know what I'm going to say to that nation? I'm going to say, guess what? Guess what? I'm going to turn this thing around for you. That's what he's saying. I'm going to turn around. I saw the direction. Please understand, if you will not repent, if you're going to grab a hold, if you choose, and I can choose the same way, if you and I choose to grab a hold of Satan's promises to us, how many know Satan's got a plan for you too? And if you make a decision, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give up. I'm not going to fight. I'm going to accept what Satan is. If you choose to do that, God looks at the nation and says, guys, I understand where you're going. God isn't causing that. He's just seeing a nation that will refuse. And please understand, people make all kinds of accusations about God. Absolutely wrongly. They see nations and they see poor children. They see in poverty. And they see, you know what, all this going on, and they say, how can a good God let all this happen? Well, read your Bible. Amen. How come nations will not repent and turn to God? That is a good question. Listen. And I'm just telling somebody, you know what? And it's starting to affect our nation. It's starting to affect our nation. You know, I told somebody the other day, you know what? You need to be very careful. Can I talk about our nation for a moment? The issue is we have, with all our imperfections, for many, many years we have made, listen, I'm not talking about good choices. I'm talking about righteous choices. I'm talking about choices that are happening, things that are happening in decisions that we made, laws that we made that were based on the Bible. That is a good decision. And so we made so many of those decisions that the whole nation was walking in the positive ramifications, the productivity of the good choices that we made. But where we're at now is we are making so many bad decisions, but here's the deceptive thing. We are still reaping positive byproducts from the good decisions that your parents made and your grandparents made and your great-grandparents made. The problem is those seeds that are planted, that have not been planted now in years, that those trees are starting to dry up the fruit. And now we're starting to see the fruit from the trees that our age has choices that we've made, and politicians, ungodly politicians that we have put in office, and their ungodly decisions, and we're starting to see that fruit. There's still some good fruit that we're reaping, but that fruit is getting less and less and less. And God says, listen, I'm not the one who's doing this. If this nation will decide to turn around, I'll bless that nation. I'll make a change, and that which I, because let me tell you about God. God will, don't be deceived. God will allow you to reap death and destruction from your bad choices. He'll allow you to do that. Can I teach a little bit more? And watch this. And before you blame God, think, well, God, you, no. Let me tell you what. Even in him allowing you to reap what you sow, God is trying to be a good God. Can I go a little deeper in this? One of the most evil things that you do to your children or your grandchildren is allow them to get away with stuff. Oh, yeah, I got pretty quiet here all of a sudden. You do not do them any favors by letting them get away with stuff. Because let me tell you what, you are teaching them. And what kids need to understand is that there is a reaping and sowing principle. Because you can teach them that at the ages that I'm talking about. But at 15 and 16 and 18 and 24 and 38, how many know they either got it or they don't? So you got to plant that in them, and you're not going to do that by not. You know how many Fortune 100 CEOs were spanked? Spanked. Yeah, exactly. Did he see spanked? I haven't heard that word in like 48 years. Exactly. I'm not politically correct here. I'm just trying to teach you something. You know how many Fortune 100 company CEOs were spanked? Every single one of them. Coincidence? I don't think so. All I'm saying is, guys, don't recognize, and let me put it on the positive. Recognize that if you make a decision that you're going to turn it around, God will help you. But you have to make a decision. God won't decide for you what direction you're going to go. He won't. This was the nations who decide that. But if a nation decides it, and we live in such an awesome nation that, you know what, that we choose our leaders in our nation. We choose our leaders in our nation. Hallelujah. And you choose. Every day you choose. And you can make a decision. That I tell you what, I'm tired of this. I don't have to accept this this dominance in my life. I've done this, and I've done this too many times. But God, I just need help. Help me. You know, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. All you have to do is ask God. You know how come the Israelites got delivered? This is crazy. This is crazy. But you know what the Bible says why Israel was delivered from the bondage of Egypt? One thing. Do you know what it was? They cried out to God. You'd think, why wouldn't they say? How many know it's easy to look at Israel and to find out our problems? Why? Because we could see it in them. All we have to do, guys, all we have to do is cry out. It's not over. I don't care what. Don't let anybody tell you it's too late. It's not too late. God wants to help you. God will help you. You know what? Every single promise that God has given to you in the Word of God, all you have to do is take it and receive it. Not let go. Decide, I'm getting free. I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. Because let me tell you about God. God is a good God. And He will help you. He will help you. He will help you. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, something has been said tonight that if you've been encouraged, but I mean encouraged like you think, oh man, that message was for me. I need to hear that it's not over. I can make some adjustments. If that's you, I want you, with nobody looking around, I want you to raise your hands and when you raise your hand, think about what it is. What is that one? I believe that many times there's many areas, but most of the time there's one specific thing that God will be talking to. Yes, who else? Who else? Thank you. Who else? All over. Father, just keep your hand up just for a minute. Father, we see the hands that are up. I pray that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will help us to take these areas where Satan has lied and said, no, you're never going to get rid of it. No, absolutely. Today is the start. Today is the start. Somebody say, today is the start.
Today is the start.
Okay. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.